Donald Trump's inauguration takes place 1 week from today. Naperville resident Troy Thompson is making the trip to D.C. to celebrate.
This is something that means a lot to me, to be at the inauguration, because I spent the last year and a half of my life living and promoting Trump and his team and promoting their vision and goal for America.
Others, like Darletta Scruggs of the Chicago Socialist Alternative, are protesting.
It's important that we unite together to fight against what it is Trump represents, which is not the greater good of everyone, but the benefit of a tiny elite.
We'll check in with Illinois residents across the state about their inauguration plans, and we hear from Republican Congressman Rodney Davis on the new administration.
I really am excited to work with him in a unified Republican government.
That's all coming up this hour on the 21st. Stay tuned. Welcome to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. A week from today, right about at this time, actually, Donald Trump will be sworn into office as the 45th president of the United States. We'll be carrying all of that coverage live next week. Today, we thought we'd take some time to talk to people throughout Illinois to hear about their inauguration plans. And we want to hear from you. What are your plans for next Friday? Give us a call or tweet us. 21STShows, our handle. You can call us at 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. Later in the hour, we'll be talking to some people from Chicago to Champaign to Carbondale who say they want to send a message to the incoming administration. Some of that a message of protest. Of course, there are also people in Illinois who are very excited to celebrate Donald Trump as our next president. I'm joined now by two of them. Troy Thompson is a resident of Naperville in the Chicago suburbs. Shane Bouvet is from Stonington. That's about 30 miles southeast of Springfield. Troy, Shane, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Hey. Oh, thank you. It's an honor to be on your show and the listeners. I just want to really thank you for having me on here today.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time, guys. I appreciate it. Troy, can we start with you? You spent the past year and a half campaigning for Donald Trump in Illinois. You posted on Facebook you're going to be rolling in together on your motorbikes with a few friends from Chicago. What does it mean to you that you'll be able to attend the inauguration?
What it means to me to attend the inauguration is we are first trailering our motorcycles to D.C., and then in D.C. we're getting off or unloading our motorcycles.
It's a long ride. It's kind of cold, too. Sure.
Yeah. So what it means to me is it means a lot because I've dedicated a year and a half of my life every weekend on my Harley showing signs of support for Trump and positively resisting the non-Trump supporters and educating them on the positive sides of Trump rather than focusing only on the negative. So since I've spent the last year and a half of my life going to the inauguration, it kind of puts the icing on the cake.
Yeah, for you, Troy,
having an opportunity.
Yeah. What do you, for you, what's the most positive thing about Donald Trump? What do you feel the best about with Donald Trump being president?
I feel with Donald Trump, I guess to kind of put it in a nutshell, would be I feel that America needs an economy where everybody works rather than an economy that works for everybody. You know, I just think everybody needs to go to work. And I think that is his focus, is bringing back jobs since we lost over 70,000 corporations to foreign companies since NAFTA came in. I think it's important that we bring back these jobs so the American workers, we can get a third of the America is what on welfare right now. We're on some sort of government subsidy. And it'd be good to bring it back and make America actually an employee's market rather than an employer's market, which will drive up hourly wages.
So when you say a third of America is on welfare or some sort of government subsidy, are you meaning, what are particular you think are you referring to?
I'm just housing, food, just some sort of government help, because we've lost so much industry. I work in South Chicago every day. I see it firsthand. South Chicago.
South Chicago, right. I know you work for Ford on the South Side. I want to talk about that in a minute. But Shane, can I bring you into the conversation? You're on the social media team for Team Trump Grassroots. It's a Facebook page. It has nearly 150,000 followers. Can you tell me how that page came about?
I just kind of started with the team 3 months ago, but I've actually been on social media, volunteer for Illinois for Trump, and I've done a lot of posting and try to get people politically engaged in the process. And, you know, just kind of like what he talked about is our jobs. When I was running for state representative, it's just sad to see some of these people going through the worst time of their lives. And, you know, Decatur, Illinois used to be the manufacturing capital of Illinois. People are losing jobs. And when you talk to these people at the coffee shop, I call them the old coffee shop guys or women and all kinds of people that are just going through a tough time in Illinois, especially not having a budget. And, you know, and they talk about how they used to feel so much pride in America. And now I feel like it's back again. These people are starting to feel hope. And there's, you know, we want to see our products made, you know, in the United States. I mean, it's touched a lot of issues and it touched a lot of lives. And that's what people are looking forward to.
Shane, I know you said in the past, I saw a story that you were quoted in that says it means the world to you. You described yourself as a small town blue collar guy to be attending the inauguration. Can you tell me more about what you mean by that?
Yeah, I'm just a small town little dot in the United States. I'm a blue collar guy. And, you know, I relate to people. I know what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like to, you know, hit the bottom. And I've always been able to relate to people because I've been there. And, you know, and it's time to look forward. And I believe that Donald Trump is going to bring back our jobs and grow our economy. And I think it's a great time in America. You know, it's just I think it's a beautiful thing. And he's our president. Whether you like it or not, we got to face the fact that Donald Trump's going to be our 45th president of the United States.
Shane, have you ever attended an inauguration before? Have you ever wanted to?
No, I actually really, to be honest with you, no, this is the first time that I've ever been invited to a great thing like this. It's just something really remarkable and amazing. And, you know, people who are just watching at home, they're just as well in a part of this. You know, I'm just blessed with the opportunity, and I just think it's just amazing. I just can't wait to see so many people there. And, you know, everyone just works so hard.
Shane, when you say you've been invited, can you let us know specifically what you've been invited to and what events you're planning to attend next week?
Okay. Well, I from doing social media, I got contacted by Dr. Lisa Christine, and she's wrote a few books, bestseller. She's an author, and you know, and she goes, "I've been watching you, and I really want to give you a lifetime opportunity. And would you go to the inauguration ball with me?" And I was like, "Okay, is this a scam? You know, you just never know." And,
wow, what are you gonna wear?
It was hard to take in, and you just see things like this don't happen to a blue collar guy like me in a small town. And it's just to me, it's just a blessing coming true. I told her she might have to wake me up and say that this is reality because I just worked really hard. I try getting everybody engaged, and I tell everybody, whether you're rich or poor, when you walk into a voting booth, your vote is counted the same. You know, you don't have to have a big name to represent change. Anyone can. If you just have heart, you can overcome any obstacles in your life that you set. So.
That's Shane Bouvet that we're talking to. He lives in Stonington, just southeast of Springfield, on the line with us from Naperville, Troy Thompson. We're talking to both of them about attending Donald Trump's inauguration, which is going to be having next week at this time in Washington, D.C. We're talking to everybody about what their inauguration plans are. Give us a call, 1-800-222-9455, to share what you're doing. You can tweet to us as well at 21STShow. That's our Twitter handle. Troy, how about you? Have you ever attended an inauguration before? Is this something you ever thought you would want to go to?
I have never attended a presidential inauguration. However, I had the opportunity to attend the Wisconsin one. My last name is Thompson, and you put two and two together. I went with my grandmother to the inauguration ball back in 88, I believe it was, for Tommy Thompson. So I did attend that inauguration,
okay,
the governor ball, but never the presidential one, no.
And what's kind of the motivation for going? Do you feel like you want to be surrounded? Is it really important for you to feel like you're there in Washington? You know, Shane was talking about how everyone watching on TV gets a sense of it too, but why did you want to actually be there?
I will be one of the thousands that are going to be representing bikers for Trump in Washington, D.C. And look into it. Bikers for Trump has grown to be a very large organization throughout the election process. And we actually have a ball going on over at the MGM, the Bikers for Trump does, and I'm going to be attending it with them. I've been in direct contact with Chris Cox, the president of Bikers for Trump. And he is again relying on me to be down there. We're taking off next Wednesday afternoon, four trucks loaded full of Harleys in the trailers. And when we get there,
what do you wear to a biker ball? Do you bring your bikes also? How does that work?
At the bikers ball, I'm assuming that most people will have their bikes there as long as security will allow us to have our motorcycles there.
Okay.
Because there may be some limited situations. But yeah, we'll probably be wearing leathers and picture thousands of bikers, and we don't have to dress up. We don't have to be super, we don't have to wear suits. We'll be in our biker gear.
We're talking to folks about their plans for next week for the inauguration. You can join us as well. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. Earlier, we got a voicemail from Roger. He's a pastor in the Springfield area who's also going to be attending. Here's what he shared with us about why he's excited about Donald Trump and why he'll be at the inauguration next week.
There are so many different facets to his genius. And he has, like Ford did, surrounded himself with geniuses. And he knows that he has limitations, but those limitations are only the things that he don't know. He's a visionary, and in the first 100 days, we're going to see the stock market change. We're going to see other countries come together in support of Donald Trump. We're going to see a whole big difference in regards to anything nuclear. We're going to see a protection from the United States of America as our military grows. We're going to see us become a superpower again. People back to work by the millions. And I just really feel like that this is America's best opportunity to move forward.
That's Roger, a pastor in the Springfield area, who left us a voicemail about his support for Donald Trump. He's also going to be, Shane, I know you and Roger know each other. As Roger was talking about the first 100 days, what do you want President Trump to achieve in his first 100 days, Shane? What's most important to you?
Well, what's most important to me is, of course, what the American people are saying. That's, to me, just listening to them, and they're just so not happy with how government is ran. Just referring to Illinois, it's just people. It's people over politics. It's not politics over people. And sometimes when you sit in a desk too long, you forget the other side. And I feel like Donald Trump is representing what some people are scared to say. We're, Americans fed up with these politicians who want to stay in there and be lifelong politicians. It's time that we represent change and bring new people and new ideas to America.
Troy, what about you? What do you want to see Donald Trump achieve in his first 100 days?
Simply in 100 days, you only can accomplish so much. And
sure.
You have to be understanding of that. But what I think is vital for Donald Trump in the first 100 days is basically to set the groundwork and set a foundation for the next 3 years and possibly hopefully the next 8. But just setting a foundation and setting goals before you can achieve any goals, you got to set them. And so just setting the groundwork and, again, starting to build confidence and giving America and the world a vision for America, a vision of success. So in the first 100 days, I just think a solid foundation to fix our problems from the core rather than just putting a Band-Aid over the top of them and talking about it. Fixing these problems that we have in our in our inner cities, for instance, with our gun violence. I mean, do we really need to put up more rules and regulations? Probably not. It's something that they got to, it's deeper than that. They got to dig to the core, find out the real root cause of the problem and solve it. And I think within the first 100 days, if he can set a good foundation for the next 3 years to get us move forward, I would be happy with that.
Troy, I know you you mentioned this. You work, you're a subcontractor for Ford on Chicago's South Side at that facility there. Shane, and I wanted to ask you both of you guys about this, about manufacturing, about jobs. Certainly, we've seen job growth in Illinois lag behind the rest of the country, right? We've never really caught up to the job growth that we've seen in other parts of the country. Some of that has to do with manufacturing. Shane, in particular, what do you want to see happen? Well, what do you want President Trump to do in terms of, and what do you think he's already done, I guess, in terms of manufacturing jobs?
Well, I think that some of these companies are going outsourcing to other countries to get a cheaper, a cheaper price. And I feel like he's going to stay firm on that. He already has. He says, you're not leaving. You're not going overseas. We're going to put people to work. And, even when I was running, I've seen people at the toughest time in their lives just talking about how manufacturing used to be a booming. Illinois used to be a booming economy. And then unfortunately, these people have lost hope. When I was going door to door, and it's just sad when you hear someone say they can't put food on the table. It's hard. It's hard to grasp, and it's something that I don't know how some of these people go to sleep at night, just knowing that they hit their hardest in life, and it's time that we start solving the real problems in this state, and they need someone who's been there in their shoes, and that's why I feel like Donald Trump represents the possibility, because we need jobs, and people just say jobs. We need them. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. We need jobs.
I'm afraid we're out of time, so I'm going to leave it at that. But I want to thank Shane Bouvet from Stonington in southeast Springfield, so almost southern Illinois, I guess we would say, and Troy Thompson up on the other part of the state in Naperville in the Chicago suburbs. Troy, Shane, thanks for being with me. Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Coming up, we're going to be talking to U.S. Congressman Rodney Davis about the upcoming and incoming Trump administration. Stay tuned. You're listening to The 21st. You're listening to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. We're talking about the inauguration of Donald Trump. It takes place a week from today. We'll be carrying all of that coverage from NPR in Washington on our airwaves all day, by the way. What are your inauguration plans? You can share them with us. You can tweet to 21st Show. You can give us a call. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. Earlier this week, I caught up with Congressman Rodney Davis. The Republican represents Illinois' 13th district, which covers a large swath of central Illinois. Congressman, welcome back to The 21st.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Nyla.
I know, Congressman, you've helped a few hundred of your constituents get tickets for inauguration events next week. What are you hearing from them?
Oh, they're excited about it. This will be my 1, 2, 3, 4th inauguration that I've attended. It's great to see the most powerful position in the world have a peaceful transition of power. We take that for granted in this country, and we're going to witness that again next week. The people that have wanted tickets from our office, over 350 constituents that we've been able to help out, they're excited to come out here and see that transition of power, just like I saw that excitement in President Bush's inaugural and also in President Obama's. And even though I was not a supporter of President Obama in 2008 or 2012, you got to respect the office of the president. And I was proud to be out here as a Republican witnessing that peaceful transition of power. And I would hope that those who didn't support President Trump or the Republican Party do the same and do it respectfully.
Do you have a sense of the same level of excitement? It might be hard to compare, but with your constituents now, what's your sense of that?
Absolutely. With our constituents, there's even more excitement because many of the Republicans that I have known and worked with over the years as a member of the Republican Party, they're extremely excited. They're a lot more excited because their candidate won, and they're a lot more excited than what I saw over the last two election cycles.
What specific things are you looking for from President-elect Trump in his first 100 days in office?
Well, I think as you've seen over his transition, he's picked some what I think very highly qualified individuals to be cabinet secretaries, some I serve with right now. I think President-elect Trump has laid out his agenda, and it's an agenda that I'm going to be very supportive of. And he talks about investing in infrastructure. That's something that I campaigned on, even though it wasn't a hotbed conservative Republican issue. but we've got to rebuild our crumbling roads and bridges, and that's how we're going to grow our economy. So I'm excited to work with him there. I'm excited to work with him to repeal, repair, and replace the Unaffordable Care Act that's costing many families in my district thousands upon thousands of dollars just to be able to use their health care. So those are some areas where he's ready to hit the ground running with us, and I really am excited to work with him in a unified Republican government.
Now, you've been very outspoken, of course, about the need to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. That's something you talked a lot about. What would you like to see replace it now?
Well, we've got the framework laid out. I got to give Paul Ryan a lot of credit. Our framework's already out on the web, Better Way Agenda at better.gop. We're going to be able to take that framework and be able to put specifics in place to make sure that we make our healthcare delivery system serve the 31 million people who are still in this country uninsured or can't afford to use the coverage that they're paying for because the federal government forces them to.
Congressman, what are the most important parts of the framework for you?
Well, we've got to make healthcare more affordable by making it more competitive. The facts are, with the Affordable Care Act, almost a third of our country is now served in many areas by only one insurance carrier. That lack of competition leads to increased prices, which means families can't afford to use the insurance coverage they have. So that's something that we have to look at a nationwide approach rather than a state-by-state approach. I want to make sure we cover pre-existing conditions still. No one says that our healthcare delivery system before the Affordable Care Act was perfect and was working as it should have. But it doesn't mean that we're going to have a plan that was put in place before I got to Washington that took years to actually be implemented, that is costing $3 trillion, almost a third of our economy. And no one is saying that that is the replacement that's working well. And the statistics are bearing it out with increased cost, not just for those who are on the exchange, but in the entire healthcare delivery system as a whole. And we've got to make sure that we put a better plan in place, and we're working together to make that happen.
So something that would still include coverage of pre-existing conditions. One thing we've heard a lot about is children or young adults up to age 25 still being covered. Is that something you think is important?
Well, we've got to make sure that anyone who doesn't have a job, doesn't have access to health care, has affordable health care. And the fact is, the Affordable Care Act was put in place to and be paid for by younger workers. And younger workers mean those who are up to age 26. My focus would be, let's grow our economy so they can go out and get a job and get their own health care coverage. And let's make sure we have options that they may want to take advantage of that are even cheaper and provide better coverage than what their own parents' insurance plan is all about. Because if we don't have the younger workers actually helping to fund the insurance and health care delivery system in this country, then our costs for every other family that is being covered continue to go up. But we have to address it. And that's not a part of the proposal that I'm looking to get rid of at all.
Congressman, what are your other priorities going forward this legislative session?
Well, we have to address the ever-burdening student loan debt crisis. I think that's the next bubble that's going to burst. I've had a bill to create an incentivized program to allow companies to take tax credits of up to $5,250 a year to help create a student loan repayment program that the employee would then not have to pay taxes on that benefit on like they currently do. And it would mirror what a tuition reimbursement program is all about when it comes to being treated by our tax code. That has the potential, Nyla, to be able to save $4 billion a year in federally backed student loan defaults.
You know, Congressman, just after the new year, House Republicans took a vote to dramatically cut back the independent powers of the Office of Congressional Ethics. The vote was behind closed doors. President-elect Trump spoke out against the move on Twitter. Other people raised concerns. And the next day, Republican legislators reversed course and pulled the change from a larger package of rules. Did you vote on the proposal to cut the power of the Ethics Office?
The only vote that I cast is a vote to the vote I cast was a vote for our House rules package that didn't include any changes. But I've been here in Washington and been somebody who's been a reformer. The fact of the matter is I led an effort that has led to the most transparent portion of any branch of government because of the House of Representatives Now you can actually research how every single dollar is spent by the House of Representatives in a searchable, sortable fashion. I led that transparency movement. I'm the one who actually made sure that we are the most transparent form of government. That's exactly the type of leadership I'm going to continue to have here in the House of Representatives. But we're also going to work in a bipartisan way to fix the House of Representatives on a wide variety of issues. So the issue you mentioned is not one of my priorities right now.
And so just to clarify that, you didn't vote to remove powers from the ethics office. You voted on the package after that change was removed.
I voted on the vote I cast was a vote for the House rules package on the House floor. So I don't talk about votes that were not made in a Republican conference. And that's a system that I followed since I got here. We're going to be able to address many issues that the voters of this country have put forward. And the issues that we're going to face are a lot bigger than somebody's complaints with an agency within the House of Representatives that other branches of government don't actually utilize.
Sure. So just to help me understand, Congressman Davis, if there was a vote behind closed doors, you don't, that's your policy to not talk about it.
I don't talk about any vote I take in a private conference meeting. That's part of the reason why we have open debate and part of the reason why we can have an open discussion.
Okay. Thanks so much for joining us. Congressman Rodney Davis is a Republican representing Illinois' 13th district, covering a large swath of central Illinois. Thanks for being with us, Congressman.
Thanks.
We're talking about how Illinois is getting ready for the Trump administration. How are you planning to celebrate Inauguration Day next week? How are you reacting? Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. We've been talking to people who are excited about it. Let's go to Phil in Springfield. Phil, what are your thoughts about next Friday?
Oh, next Friday is not going to be a good day. And you know, I called in to comment on the inauguration, but after listening to the spin that we just heard from Representative Davis there, that's a prime example of the problem we're facing. You know, it's politics as usual. We're running on a campaign of, and when I say we, I say Trump and the right-wing ticket, running on a campaign of draining the swamp, changing business as usual, making it more transparent. I mean, he just went on a big tangent there about how Davis did, about how he likes to make things transparent, and he leads these efforts, and he won't even answer a simple, direct question, and then turns around and states uncategorically that he won't comment on private votes. That the ethics division of our government is, you know, irrespective to the importance of their job, and yet he's making his whole statement for his accountability on transparency. You know, and this is just more of the same. It's bait and switch. It's, you know, we're gonna privatize this. We're gonna invest in infrastructure. He was talking about investing in infrastructure. Well, if you look at the way that Trump wants to do it, he wants to privatize. He wants to give tax breaks to these large corporations, which is going to in turn bring people from out of state and possibly out of the country to come in and do these jobs once they repeal these Davis-Bacon laws. And they're going to come in and take the money out of the local economy, and then they're going to start charging us to use the roadways that our tax dollars built and our blood, sweat, and tears have been maintaining for all this time.
Phil, thanks for those. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for those comments. That's Phil in Springfield. Let's go to Robert in Chicago. Robert, what about you? What are your thoughts about Inauguration Day next week?
Hi, thank you for having me on. My name is Robert Grillo, and so on Inauguration Day, I'll be joining the march in Chicago, the anti-Trump march. And I think, you know, if I had to pick one single thought for the reason why I object to the Trump administration, it's what has been often referred to as what we call the post-Trump, the post-truth era. And I think we have to look at how Trump has contributed to that and built a campaign on this kind of post-truth, fake news type of scenario in which he villainizes the press and the media, which is really a foundation of a free democratic state. The press and the media have a responsibility to hold public officials accountable, and if you villainize them and say that they're all bad and that they're all, you know, fake and that only what I say is real, then you have a real problem with accountability. And I think that's one of the big dangers that we face in a Trump administration.
Robert, thanks for that call. Thanks for those comments. Much appreciated. 1-800-222-9455. Robert mentioned a march in Chicago. Darletta Scruggs is joining us now from Chicago. She's one of the organizers of the Resist Trump Occupy inauguration rally that's actually starting at Daley Plaza in downtown Chicago next Friday. Darletta, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you for having me.
How many people are you expecting next Friday to start this march at Daley Plaza?
We're expecting a large amount of people. As you heard from the last two guests that commented, there are a lot of people that are upset about the direction that this country is going and Trump and his cabinet picks. There's going to be a lot of actions that are going to meet up at Daley Plaza at 3 p.m. So we're expecting a large turnout. We've already have on our Facebook page over 1,000 people listing that they are coming and over 3,000 or 4,000 people saying they're interested in coming.
What is the main message you want to send?
I mean, the main messaging for this rally is to point out kind of what the last two people talked about, this lack of transparency from both political parties, the direction that Trump is taking the country in, which is one of overt racism, sexism, xenophobia. You know, he talked much about draining the swamp, but when you look at his cabinet picks, you see nothing but the 1%, the richest, the top wealthiest people. For example, his pick for Secretary of State is an ExxonMobil executive. So we're seeing a lot of contradictions, and it's important for us to come out on the 20th to say that we will not just sit by idly and allow these attacks, because that's what they will be. There'll be attacks on working people. We'll be stuck with the bill. We'll be put the burden on our shoulders to have to rebuild this country while the big corporations continue to get tax breaks, continue to go unchecked, and it's working people who suffer the hardest under that.
Darletta, you want to pose the same question to you that I posed to the folks who I talked to earlier in the hour who are very excited about the Trump administration, which is the next 100 days. How do you see yourself in the next 100 days? What are your plans for what kind of messages you feel like you want to send to the Trump administration?
I mean, I think the next 100 days, if you want to get an idea of what it would be like, we can look at what the last 48 hours have been. I mean, Trump's first order of business has been to attack media for, writing any, journalist that will write any opposing views to things that he do and say. He immediately comes out and attacks media. That's an attack on freedom of speech. That's an attack on opposition. That's a way to remove the ability for any dissenting of view or opposing view to be heard. We also see he talked much about his plans for his business. Donald Trump is a billionaire. He's a businessman. Anything that he does in office is going to be in the interest of the business class, and we should make no mistake about that. If it was in the interest of the business class to have thousands of jobs here and pay living wages, then they would do that. That's not in their interest, and that's not what they're planning on doing. So what we plan on doing leading up to January 20th and beyond is continuing to get people organized to oppose and resist these type of policies and policymakers and say that now it's time that we don't go through, business as usual or politics as usual, that we actually have to create our own foundations, our own institutions, and our own policymakers, and we can't rely on the Democrats, and apparently we can't rely on the Republicans because they do backdoor private sessions when they vote on policies, then we need to create our own party that can act on our behalf.
That's Darletta Scruggs. She's with the Chicago Socialist Alternative. She's an activist with Black Lives Matter. She's one of the organizers behind the Occupy inauguration rally that's happening, as you heard her say, starting next Friday at Daley Plaza in downtown Chicago. Coming up, we're going to be hearing about events in Carbondale and speaking to someone who is joining the March on Washington. Stay tuned. You're listening to The 21st. Darletta, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Next Friday, Donald Trump takes the oath of office to be the 45th president of our United States. We've been talking to people who are excited about it, people who not so much. Thousands of people are expected to be, women especially, in Washington for the Women's March, which is the day after the inauguration. More than 200 sister marches are also being organized around the world in solidarity. One of those events is in Carbondale. And joining us now to talk about the Southern Illinois Women's March is Kathy Neely. Kathy, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, this is going to begin Saturday from the Carbondale Civic Center. I know that more than 300 people have already signed up. What motivated you to take the initiative and organize this event in Carbondale?
Oh, I first wanted to go to Washington when I heard about the march. And then over the course of about a week, hearing how that was developing and just thinking about doing that, I realized that my energy would be better spent in my own community. And so I decided to put my energy there and to organize a march here in Carbondale.
And what message do you want to send with this Carbondale march?
I guess I really don't want to control the message. What I'm trying to provide as the organizer of the march is to create what I would call a container where other people can bring their messages. The march is specifically not an anti-Trump march, and that's one of the tenets of the march at the national level. So it will be an empowerment march, it will be a pro-woman march, and it will be a chance for the Southern Illinois communities to come together and express what they feel is important.
So I guess my question is, who's welcome? Who do you want to come?
Anybody is welcome. And I would expect to see people who are more on the liberal end, but we will welcome Trump supporters, hopefully without Trump signs, because we won't have anti-Trump signs.
So you want, it's really, and is it mostly women that you want to see attend this?
We welcome men. We welcome gays and lesbians and bisexuals and trans men and women. And anyone who supports women's issues and human dignity and human rights.
Kathy, we've seen go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there.
Well, just to say that it's a very broad range of people and issues that people are supporting. You know, I think the whole march is in the wake of the election and in the wake of the demeaning rhetoric that we've heard from Donald Trump throughout his campaign. And I see the march in part as kind of a ritual for us to cleanse, kind of wash away the effects of the election and try to take a deep breath and make a fresh positive start.
So you want to condemn things that Donald Trump has said, but you don't want this to be seen as an anti-Trump march, just to be clear.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I want to ask, we've seen a lot of people sharing pictures of these knit hats. We'll call them cat hats because they're pink hats with little cat ears. And they go by another name I actually really should not say on the air because of our community standards. But okay. People will be wearing them during different marches across the country. Are you expecting to see these hats in Carbondale as well?
There will definitely be hats in Carbondale. We have at least a couple groups of people who are having fun knitting their hats. I've seen some pictures, and I know there have been some groups. I don't know how many hats there will be. I know I have one that a friend made me.
And you said that one of your goals is that each person ends up meeting at least three new people from their community at your Women's March. What would you like them to see do or with the relationships that they make at your march?
Yes, my personal goal for the march is to bring people together in my community and specifically for people to have a chance to interact with someone in the community or a couple people in the community that they didn't know and someone who is different than they are. And I think that's really important, especially in this time when our democracy may be threatened, maybe more threatened than it has been, that we pull together as a community and that the that the best way to do that is at the grassroots level, for people to have neighborly relationships with each other and to know who their neighbors are and to know who lives on the other side of town and has the business next to theirs and so on.
Kathy Neely is one of the organizers of the Southern Illinois Women's March, which is going to be taking place on Saturday, January 21st. It will begin from the Carbondale Civic Center. We'll tweet out details about that. Kathy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
In studio with me now in Urbana is Alex Agüero. She works in the College of Education at the University of Illinois, where she's also a doctoral student. And next week, she's headed to D.C. to participate in the Women's March. Alex, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you're flying to D.C. You're going to meet with other friends who are participating in the Women's March. Why did you decide to make this trip all the way from the Champaign-Urbana area to D.C.?
Correct. Well, as a policy major, it is very important to me that I listen to the people that are the most vulnerable and that will be impacted by policies that represent bigotry and discrimination. So I am there to document the oral stories. I am there to learn of who's being left out and create something post this this event, perhaps an article or, you know, that will capture this historical moment for the generations to come.
Now, I heard Kathy describe how the Women's March on Washington, you know, they're saying very carefully, this is not supposed to be an anti-Trump march. Kathy was saying her event in Carbondale, the sister march, she wants it to be for everybody, but to send a message. How do you feel personally about President Trump? Are you going there in protest?
I disagree with President-elect. I disagree with his rhetoric on women, of course, on underrepresented people, of course. And so I am also there to support, you know, to represent, you know, my community,
your community,
my own community, and to give set an example for our younger generations.
By when you say set an example, what message do you want to send to younger generations about when you're saying for your community? What do you mean by that?
You don't accept, you know, this hateful speech. You don't accept disrespectful speech. This is a message for the young girls in our lives, and it's a message for the young boys in our lives. You know, you do not behave in such a way and not expect there to be any consequences, basically.
And have you always been publicly vocal about these kind of messages? Is this something specific to this presidential campaign in this past year?
I have always. I have always been extremely vocal. And, you know, I try to do it in a respectful way, of course. And my friends know me. And, you know, sometimes it can create a little bit of, biases. Or maybe perhaps even the worst kind retaliatory behavior. But I tend to speak with my heart open.
Alex, what do you think the next few years will be like for Illinois under a Trump administration?
Well, I'm an optimist. And so I see many opportunities, you know, for more women to be involved in policymaking. I see more opportunities for us to be vigilant, for us to participate and or interrupt perhaps this rhetoric, you know. So actually, as an optimist, I see it as an opportunity.
That's Alex Agüero. She is in education. She's in the College of Education at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. She's a doctoral student as well, talking to us about her trip to D.C. next week. She's joining the Women's March. Alex, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We We've been talking all this hour about the inauguration events next week. Wanted to end the conversation with a tweet that we got from Arlene Mahler. This is in reference to the conversation we had earlier in the hour with Congressman Rodney Davis. She says, shame on Rodney Davis for refusing to answer whether he supported a Republican attempt to gut the Office of Government Ethics. As always, you can tweet and leave voicemails about how you feel about it. If you're, when you're on the air, you can tweet to us, 21STShow. You can always leave us a voicemail as well to give us feedback. That number is 217-300-2121. All the information about how to get in touch with us is at our website, 21stshow.org. Oh, it's Arlen. Sorry. Everybody's correcting me there. Arlen Mahler. Sorry about that, Arlen. On Monday, the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday is happening. There's lots of events happening throughout the state this weekend to commemorate that. One of them is in at 5 o'clock at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Champaign-Urbana on Sunday. Every year since 1986, Reverend Claude Shelby of Salem Baptist Church in Champaign has been organizing a community celebration. Earlier, we spoke with Pastor Shelby. We asked him what people could look forward to at this Sunday's event. Here's what he shared with us.
Well, they can look forward to beautiful singing. Our community choirs over the years have really been one of the bright spots of our celebrations because they sing such inspiring and uplifting songs that help us to feel that we have not only human help, but we have the help of God, throughout all of this that we're striving to do. And they can look forward to 10 young people receiving scholarships, $1,000 a year for up to 4 years. And if they attend the University of Illinois, it's a match by the university. And this year we are honoring choir members that have been a part of the King celebration for 10 years or more in the choir. But most of all, our guest speaker, Dr. Alan Busock, he's just a dynamic individual, I should say. And he was suggested to me in 2014 by Dr. Steve Shoemaker, who was one of our charter members of our group. And so I tried to get Dr. Busock for 2015, was unable to do so, but...
Well, he's certainly in demand, isn't he?
I said, put me on your calendar for 2016. And so we're able to work out all the details, and he's an individual that was head of the Mandela Center mm-hmm. and things of that nature.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to hear from him.
He will be a very powerful part of our program. Hopefully, he'll leave something that will linger with us to help us to strive toward being a greater participant in the American dream.
That's Reverend Claude Shelby. He's a senior pastor at Salem Baptist Church in Champaign. He's talking about this Sunday's event at the Krannert Center for Performing Arts at the University of Illinois. It's a community service honoring the life of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The 32nd annual one will be at 5 o'clock. We're going to tweet out information for that event there, and also a list of other events that are taking place throughout Illinois this weekend and Monday to honor the life of Dr. King. Follow us at 21STShow for that. We'll throw it up on our website as well at 21stshow.org. On Monday, tune in for a special 21st show to also talk more about Martin Luther King Jr. and his legacy. We'll have a longer conversation with Reverend Shelby. We'll also be talking to the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum about the links between President Lincoln and Dr. King. And actor Reggie Guyton is going to join us. He's a museum actor at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library, and he is going to be delivering Martin Luther King Jr.'s most famous I Have a Dream speech in Springfield to commemorate the holiday. So stay tuned on Monday for that. Does it for us today. You can always find past shows on the NPR One app. Search for the 21st. We're also available on iTunes and Android. All of those links, all the information I've been talking about all hour, you can always find at our website at 21stshow.org. If you follow us on Twitter, search for 21ST Show. We live tweet during the show with more analysis and background about what we're talking about. You can tweet back at us for comments or questions you'd like us to ask on air. On our Facebook page, if you search for the 21st to like us, you can also comment on what we're working on or post questions or comments you'd like us to ask when we're live on the air. We're produced by Haula Delehi, Christine Herman, and Sean Newman. Technical direction comes from Jason Croft with help from Steve Mork. Scott Cameron is our executive editor. Thanks to Joe Yoon and Nick Vance from the University of Illinois' Social Media Analytics Lab for their research help. And special thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. I'm Nyla Boodoo. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Have a safe weekend. Be careful on the roads out there. Thanks for listening.